Fine. Mr. Hashem, what does Tzar Baal Chayim have to do with this parasha? I mean, if you take a look, actually, the first times that we find the concept of the pain of an animal, we find it in Parshas Mishpatim, we find another time Parshas Kisetzeh. But what shaykes to Parshas Balak seems to be a little interesting. So actually, interestingly, we find it by Bilam hitting his animal, right? As, of course, he's walking and he, you know, bumps into the wall, hits it three times. All of a sudden, the Malach appears and says, no, why are you hitting your animal these three times? And as we know from Chazal, that Bilam had a very special relationship with his animal. Okay, it seems to be that why are you treating me this way? Why are you treating the animal that way? It seems to be a little bit not fair, and the mouth calls him out on that. And that's why if you take a look at the Medrash HaGadol, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tzar Baal Chayim Daraisa, and where do we see that Tzar Baal Chayim is Daraisa? Even though we're going to see in a few minutes, the Gemara does not quote it from this, from Bilam. Dechsev alma hikisa sasancha. Why have you hit your chamor? Why have you hit your donkey? So this week's parasha seems to be based off the Medrash that the makor of Tzar Baal Chayim being Darais is biblical, stems from this week's parasha itself. And the Mor Nevuchim tells us that, of course, that a person has to be very careful and has to be very makbid on Tzar Baal Chayim because it causes a person to lack, to lose their sense of empathy, their sense of connectivity to the world around them. We're expected to be normal people who don't just use things up and just throw it away. We want to be people who are sensitive to the world around us, especially the living things around us, and not to become... By the way, if you take a look at the bottom note, I just find it very fascinating. Kavanas Rabbeinu Kenireh Neged Sha'ashuei Hatzayid Hanugim Boilum Haparai, which... like you have like these hunters. Like we get.
So hunt- means parai,
a fry. Yeah, yeah. So fry would be that haparai. Like these people that go out in the fields. Hamaderni umilchamas hashvarim. What's milchamas hashvarim?
Bullfights.
Bullfights. Exactly. Shahayu noyhagim besfar. That was very, very popular in Spain. So they have these bulls fighting each other. Maybe I don't think about the bull running. It's like they're the opposite.
That's
we'll talk about exactly what it means if because. That kind of leads into the next point, which is Tzar Baal Chayim Daraisa Darabanan? Right? Is Tzar Baal Chayim Daraisa Darabanan? What should be the nafkamina? Nafkamina is the Michas Chinuch explains that if, let's say, for example, Behema Shel Goy, Behema belongs to somebody else, I should be required to take care of that other person's Behema. I mean, at the end of the day, if it's Daraisa, I'm required to help that animal. So regardless of whether or not it belongs to a non-Jew, it does belong to a non-Jew, the animal's in pain, I should be expected to go after it. Oh, okay, good, good. So we'll get into that in a second. Very good. Because it's really based off of how the Mordechai says in Lahedya. I don't want to jump to points. But on the one hand, it would seem to be it's Daraisa, exactly what's with the premise of your question, which is it seems to be like obvious it's Daraisa. We have two psukim in Mishpatim, in Parashas Kisetze, we have in Balak, we have in Medrash, we have the Rambam, the Rosh, the Rif. We're going to go through literally all the shitas that seem to be saying very, very explicitly that Tzar Baal Chayim is Daraisa. And the Gemara discusses, again, I'm trying to speedrun a little bit, which is you have by Priko Te'ino, you see the animal suffering under its load, you're expected to go and help out, even if it's the enemy, even if it's somebody that you have zero relationship with, but nonetheless, you have to take care of that animal because Tzar Baal Chayim Daraisa, that's the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Metzia. What would be the tzad that's Darabana, as was just asked? So you have the Gemara in Maseches of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that the king, after he passed away, right, they would take his different property, and they basically either would, some of it they would be burnt, some of it would be completely locked away, and some of it would be injured and or just totally immobilized. The Gemara says by the sus, the animal, it's on page 3, the bottom of the page, lifnei edayim, it says over here, ein machdishim, ein machrimim, if you have an animal that was, let's say, for example, somebody took the animal, the horse of that belonged to the original king, and then decided they wanted to makdish it to the Beis HaMikdash, they actually would cut, one interpretation is ta'akir means, they would cut the inner tendon, inner thigh of the animal, and basically immobilize it, not being able to be used. That's a lot of pain to the animal, right? Another interpretation the Gemara says, ve'ezu ikur, noil delz b'faneh, you lock the door, he makes my land. You leave it to die on its own accord. So again, that seems to be like what's going on over here. If Tzar Baal Chayim is Daraisa, the fact that the nice idea of malchus, of covered for the king, which is where it comes from, that we want to have certain respect and the level that the king can never be replaced, nothing can he did. So it, yeah, but like, why are you causing pain to the animal? We just said that. Nachum, because right. We don't have the ability, we don't have
Benet Kabayis. Not necessarily of a king, any animal.
True. But the source, but the I'm just giving you the Gemara's context, which is talking about a melech, what do we do with his original property? Like, he can't marry his wife, things of that nature. So his whole life can never be touched. So that animal, you blew it, either you put it, you cut it in its inner tendon and basically immobilize it, and or you lock it behind a door and let it die by itself. Which seems to be, again, a little bit cruel. So why is that? So the interpretation that's given is because why? Tzar Bal Chaim is not d'oraisa, it's actually d'rabbanan. It's actually d'rabbanan. Oh, what does that mean? If you take a look over here. Because for the nice idea of the covered for the malchus, we're willing to cause this pain to the animal for this beautiful idea.
Maybe that's also
what
they're asking for the malchus.
Why
do they do it this way?
So if I didn't have the Mordechai Nechan, I would say like you as well. But if you take a look at the Mordechai on page 4 on the top left side, Daf Gimel Beis, Noel Del Spafanea, Vetzar Bal Chaim. Derabbananhu, says the Mordechai, that Tzar Bal Chaim is actually only a rabbinic issue. The only reason we're concerned that we don't make it, that we're not makdish, because we're concerned maybe there'll be some type of corruption or takala that will come out. And we'll push off the prohibition of causing pain to the animal out of the fear that maybe some takala may come out of it, that someone will end up being makdish the behema and not be able to bring the carbon, they'll end up using it for other purposes, so we'll immobilize the animal and thus causing pain to the animal itself. And yet, just to jump and flip over to that other side of the Mordechai, the top right, this is based off the Gemara Bava Metzia, what we made reference to about priko te'ina, the animal suffering under its weight, where the Gemara says, Lahedya, the reason why you have to help out the animal is because Sar Bal Chaim is Doraisa. Amarava Medivre Shneim Nilmait Sar Bal Chaim Doraisa. Moving to the lines that are underlined. Mishum Sar Bal Chaim Doraisa Beshel Chavero Nami Park. Mikan Hechiach Remeir. The Hecha de Yeshla Behema Roiv Chelev Bedadea. Right, making reference to the Gemara in Shabbos as well, which again, I apologize for the jumping around, but just to kind of get the basic point, we have another Gemara in Shabbos that says an animal that is suffering, is engorged, that needs to be able to release milk, even though it's a problem of dush on Shabbos, which is for sure to daraisa, you're allowed to release that milk on Shabbos. The mutter loy mar loy de kacham, you're allowed to tell a goy, lach loy v'oysa be Shabbos, mishum tzar b'lechaim, you're allowed to release and to disengorge the animal, because again, the animal is under tremendous stress. So on one hand, you have the Mordechai is telling me in Avodah Zarah, it's Darabanan, it says it Lehedya Darabanan. And then on the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the Mordechai seems to be saying that, no, it's actually Daraisa. And you're allowed to even break Shabbos for it, quoting from that Gemara. So where's the Mordechai? Like, what's going on here? And a lot of the Mefarshim are very, very bothered, what's the deal with this Mordechai? So I apologize again to flipping back and forth. But let's turn to page 3. There's an interesting Nemuk Yosef, quoting from the Gemara Bava Metzia.
Are these cases separate? I mean, there's one that's like a proactive, and then there's one that's a relieving the pain of the animal.
But that's a proactive act. Now, it happens to be, it is a Mir L'Nachri, so it's not you actively doing it, but nonetheless, it is prohibited because you're not allowed to ask it. It still says the right thing. Exactly. And you're pushing off a Din Shabbos, which again...
No, what I'm saying is the animal is in active pain right now, versus you going and cutting into the animal.
You're saying if I'm doing an active act of pain versus a releasing of pain.
Yeah.
Like the azay plaza, it's like more of a helping.
Right, I hear.
Meaning maybe there's different, it's maybe the deraisa is for an animal that's, no, yeah, so the deraisa is for an animal that's suffering, you have to go out of your way, but you're saying it would be the opposite. Yeah.
Maybe you could let the animal, for the animal's already in pain. Okay, fine, you're not going to play it. Right.
So. No, unless it's your responsibility. When you take on responsibility for now, it's your responsibility to take care of it. But here, when it's...
I hear.
Question if the behemah is his or any behemah.
So we're saying, so the Michas Chinuch, like I mentioned before, says that would be a nafkamin if you hold this darabanan or daraisa.
Why? Why does that make a nafkamin?
Because how could I let an animal be in pain? The same way there's a din of Hashem's avedim of daraisa, I'm required to take care of it.
The question is, are you mechuyab b'chalim balei chayim on any animal?
What
does that have to do with darabanan and daraisa? Why?
If it's darabanan...
Like, who's responsible at Tzav Balei Chaim? The person who owns the animal?
Or the person who sees it?
Yeah, the person who sees it. Because from Chamo Sonafa, the
principle would be, do I have to go out of my way? Meaning, if it's daraisa, then I'm required to go out of my way to alleviate the pain of this animal.
What is the ikur mitzvah daraisa?
That the animal should not be in pain. If I have the ability to, if I see... Once it's almost like I said by Shavu'ot Aveda, once I see that it's happening, I'm required to alleviate this pain that is currently occurring.
It's
right
only
now.
If the getter of the mitzvah has nothing to do with if it's derais or not.
Well, no, because derabanan, it's not a, it's a like this, meaning if I see an animal in pain, right? It's inherently a problem, and I have to come and fix it. That would be if it's a daraisa. If it's a rabbanon, I'm required to, but only to the extent that I'm able to. We don't have tzach chesh when it comes to hilchash, when it comes to mrs. daraisas, right? Mrs. daraisa is like, well, listen, if I'm like not in the mood this morning, then I don't have to put on tefillin. Like, no, you're required to put on tefillin. Okay, maybe there's kavanas, maybe you're not feeling well, maybe there's the whole world of potter. But in the world of like, I can do it, I just don't want to, that doesn't exist in the daraisa.
If it's daraisa, then it has to go with any animal.
The sefer Chinuch, I quoted it, I'll show it to you later. Okay. Sefer Chinuch literally says, if it's shel goy, I'm required to go and save it. Secondly, this is a point that I forgot to mention, which is if you hold this daraisa, another nafkamina would be, is there a tsar bale chaim of human beings? Because we don't find any pasuk in the Torah, there's no iser to cause pain to another person. Is it interesting enough? There's onas dvarim, and maybe you can make a kavah chimer, but the mafarshim, interestingly enough, say that that's not enough of a reason to say to cause pain to another person, but who's to say it can cause pain to, maybe from Pen Toysef, by Malchus, there's different places. But the mafarshim literally say that if it's daraisa, then it applies to human beings as well, because kavah chimer. So what?
Can't hurt somebody.
But where do you get that from?
I know.
Listen, I agree with you. I agree with you entirely. Don't worry. But where? What's the makor from a scholarly standpoint? Where do we? Where do you derive that prohibition?
You can't hurt someone.
You can't hurt somebody. You can't cause physical pain to somebody.
I mean, pasuk has there before us. There's no pasuk saying that specifically.
There's a mamon. So, yeah, if something's mazik, you're right. We have a din of mazik. Mazik means that there's a chisar and mamon. I don't want to get too bogged down on this, but it's an interesting point. If I'm just like sitting on somebody a little bit, like, you know, on the airplane, and I'm just like in a way, my elbow is kind of digging into the person. I'm not causing them any long-term pain. It's not a hezik that I'm required. There's no mumminess. He's not going to become putter from being nothing. Nothing negative will occur, but he's in pain. Is that a prohibition of, I might cause the person pain because I said negatively about him. I maybe removed some ability of him to get a job. It's like Lashon Hara. The Chana Wasserman actually says in Klevet Tzaharis that the prohibition of Lashon Hara is just like Dinei Hezek. That's only Kavanas Lahazik. If I have intention to cause you pain. If I don't intend to cause you pain, says Rabbi Chanan, there's no Isra Lashon Hara. That's a non-quoted Dinei Hezek Lashon Hara, which we don't pass like that. However, though, it does say a Hagdara gives you an interpretation of what's called pain. Pain is something which it causes irrevocable damage. But me just sitting on the plane, having my elbow dug into the person, it hurts, but it might over Mitzar Balei Chaim. That you don't know makor for.
There's
if you hold the daraisa, you're not going to cause pain, right?
That's one of the things that somebody needs to pay somebody.
Correct, because there is a... But tsar, again, has a certain litmus test. We're talking here any pain. I'm jumping around again, but it's actually not on the source sheet. I apologize. The Ramah and Evan HaEzer actually discusses about plucking the feathers of a chicken. If you kill a chicken and you pluck it, you only get one batch of feathers. But if I leave the animal alive and I pluck it, I got it for as long as the animal is alive. So the Ramah says that if you have any particular reason for personal human use, you're allowed to do it. But you shouldn't, because at the end of the day, it causes pain to the animal. But because there's a condition within Tzar Balei Chaim, which is if it's for a particular use. I know we're jumping a little bit because I want to get to this Mekiyosef, because what I just said from the Ramah doesn't make so much sense because he's quoting really from the Mekiyosef. Says Mekiyosef, apologize. So scratch what I said for 2 seconds, we'll read into it. Mishum Tzar Balei Chaim. Pasko Agoinim, Barav Ilfas. Now you have page 3 on the 1, 2, 3, the third source, on the page. Barav Ilfas, and quoting from the Rif. So the Rif and the Rambam, and many other Goinim held that Tzar Balei Chaim is daraisa. V'hachim muchach b'perek mefanim, the sharim bittel, klimei chonoi, the rabbanu mishum Tzar Balei Chaim. Umiyu dafga, says the Dukes, a very fascinating point. This is only true if it's a Tzar Gadol, but Tzar Muat, there's no prohibition. That's very interesting. He's saying, in the opinions that hold that Tzar Balei Chaim is daraisa, but Tzar Balei Chaim, the Tzar Gadol is only asur daraisa. Tzar Muat, he doesn't say if it's asur b'darbanan, he just says that's not what the Torah meant. By Tzar Balei Chaim. The Itema came.
That's
what was your question. But to do it three times, you said by Paro, why was Mitzrayim held accountable? Because they went too far. Yeah, they had a concord of reason. You know, Hashem gave them the Rishos to put us into Avadim, but to go such a far extent, that's a level of Achzarius. The fact that by Bilam also, he was hitting it three times, one could argue it's Tzar Katan, not Tzar Mu'at, not Tzar Gadol. But I hear, point taken. think I can't hear so well. Itayma came in the time of Chaim the Raisa. Next line. It's okay. It's okay. Itayma came in the time of Chaim the Raisa. Since we hold the time of Chaim the Raisa, one could ask though, Zaki Veinel Fikvoy Dolame Ain a Parik. So wait a minute, hold on. Another Gemara, which we haven't quoted here, but it's Gemara in Bava Metzia, that if someone is a man of stature, they're not required to help out that animal that's suffering and struggling under the burden. Why? Because it's not befitting their stature in life. Why? Why is that a reason? Now we know by Hashavas Aveda there is such a concept, but where do we see it also by Tzar Bala Chaim?
Covenant of
Brias
is not
a.
I mean, Covenant of Brias is
doicha
many things, like even
Darbanas. But if we're saying is Daraisa, the Gemara in Bracha says that Covenant of Brias is doicha, but only not a lav shabbat Torah, only the Darbanan. And maybe even only by Sheva Al Taisa. Aval Hacha, cave in the last line of your Mukhi Yosef, a cave that Tzar Bala Chaim Hotel Latashim Shabbat Yaldim, since it's allowed for human purposes, it's permitted. You see now, because it has introduced this concept that if it's used for particular reasons, as long as it's not an inordinate amount of pain, it is allowed. So again, when do we say that Tzar Bala Chaim is Doraisa, and you can use this to now explain the Mordechai, the steer and the Mordechai, which is that maybe the Mordechai, talking about in Maseches Avodah Zarah, was talking about only things which are Tsar Muat, which is why Chazal will allow to have either ikor or leaving the animal behind the doors and passing away on its own accord, as opposed to you going and literally causing it and seeing it in physical pain.
It doesn't sound like tzarmut. It's dying from it.
It certainly is a lot of pain, but it's not an active form of blowing it up.
It's not a singular highly pain. It happens over a process.
Yes, exactly. Meaning, and that's a big discussion also, if, you know, a shortened pain versus elongated pain. It's a Gemara in, what's the Gemara? It's a Gemara in Yuma, right? Okay, the point is that now this will introduce this idea that even if you would say it's Daraisa, it depends on how, and it's allowed for certain particular purposes. Now we can go back to their Ramah. The Ramah said again, plucking the chicken, you're allowed to do it, Yisham alismoich, but you shouldn't do it, because it's going to cause a tremendous amount of pain to the animal, but if it's necessary for human consumption, it is allowed. So let's say, for example, if you have these medicines that they need to do trial runs and the animals need to do it, and yes, they may be exposing the animal to some form of cancer or a tremendous amount of pain, but if it's meant for human consumption, it seems to be that it'll even be allowed. Ramosha says this as well. There are time situations. What would be a case where it's absolutely not allowed?
Just to publish a paper.
What?
You're just doing research to publish a paper.
Okay, but if that paper would lead to some long-term benefits, maybe not. I grew up as a kid. There's a very famous football player. The guy made $100 million. $100 million. He lived in the fanciest of places in Atlanta, Georgia, if anybody knows what I'm talking about. And he got caught because he was running a ring of pit bulls.
It's just happened recently.
Oh, really? This is like 15 years ago. What are you talking about? Right? Michal Vick. Anyway, so Michal Vick, he got arrested and he sat in prison for 2 years because he ran a pit bull like ring where they would not feed their animals for months at a time. What? Dog fighting, thank you. And these animals would rip each other's faces off and they would pay money. And if the animal wasn't doing what they wanted, they would literally take in the back shed and boom. I don't want to go further than that. Right? I think I have, to be honest. But is that they're clearly very, very achzoriadic people. Right? Very achzoriadic people. Although it is interesting culturally, that I think somebody said that they did a study where they asked people if you like your aunt is drowning in the river, and your dog, your like family dog you had for like 15 years, it barely can move at this point. It's you have to, like, at this point you're holding it in a purse, you're carrying it wherever it needs to go. Right? You built the, you know, the ramps to get into the house, and it's struggling in the water. Who are you going to jump for? And like 9 out of 10 people said they would save their dog for 15 years than their aunt that they like maybe see once in a while. It says something about the
Yerusha.
it's a very sad thing.
Achzorius maybe is like a big play. It creates a negative effect.
Right? It absolutely has a negative effect. You see, that's for sure true. That's for sure true.
What's the difference between people who need, like, the higher medical?
Yeah, so we spoke about it once in this forum about hunting. We spoke about, we quoted Nabi Yehuda at one point, I didn't bring it here, but the Nabi Yehuda discusses the idea about going hunting. Do you remember we discussed that? About what's the reason, is allowed, not allowed, is it about tashchis, is it Tzar B'lei Chayim? The Nabi Yehuda comes out, although it's not right, and like the only people that we find that were hunters were not the best people in Jewish history, right? Nimrod you had by Esav. So people that were not the highest caliber of individuals, they would do these things. But at the end of the day, there is what to rely on if you're eating it. If you're doing it for game and for sport, just throwing it back in or letting it, you know, hamper it like a...
You know, or if you use the pellets.
Or if you use the pellets. I mean, like it just injures them a little bit?
No, you use the fur.
Oh, that's for pellets. Right. I apologize. Yeah, if you're using the fur, then you're getting some toilets out of it, then there's an argument to be made that's not a problem per se. It's definitely not the best.
Even if, let's say, the motivation is... That's a heifer. You can use that motivation. That is a heifer. Like, I'm really an
oxen. That's why I return back to the Rama, because the Rama says you could pluck, but it's better not to. Yeshim nimnoi means that because it really is a very painful act. Every single feather you're pulling out is really causing tremendous pain. Maybe by an animal, you're shaving off the sheep, but that's not a problem. I mean, if anything, that actually helps the animal.
If we hold that there's no tzar malachayim by a human, except for the fact that it's turned out by an animal, and if it causes discomfort not to have that thing, then the time that there's tzar malachayim by the animal, you right. should be able to actually do it.
Okay, listen, I hear the chajun. I hear the chajun. I have to think about that.
You repeat the question?
No. If we don't have a makar for tzar malachayim by a human, right. but the makar is tzar malachayim, then any discomfort that would be, let's say a guy is very picky, so there'd be discomfort for him not to take the feathers from the chicken because he needs it for whatever reason,
right.
then because of tzar malachayim, he should do it.
Just to make the distinction. I hear.
He's asking also about plants, because the Gemara says that when you put out a plant, right. according to Shimon, so forth, and so forth. They also have tzar.
This gets very deep. You know, somebody did a 5-year study on plants. Do they talk to each other? It's actually very interesting. There is reason to believe that they actually speak to each other a lot.
There's male and female plants.
That's not sure it is.
They're allowed to just go around and just pluck plants for no reason.
So that's more of a Baal Tashchis question. That's not a Tzar B'lei Chaim, because I don't think a Tzomeach is a din of a Baal Chaim. We have different stages in different months. I'll just end off with this last, with two last things. Hirsch says that when a person's eating, they have to realize that this is the, when you're eating an animal, whether it's a chicken, whether it's any form that had a nefesh, some element of living function to it, it's the closest you'll get to a human being. I mean, we don't eat humans. We're not cannibalists. That's the lowest form a person can be. So a person has to realize when they're eating it, this is the closest I can get to a human form, and to have a deep level of respect for that humanity itself. Meaning it should raise us to a place of humanity. And the last one I'll end off with again is you have in Parshas Noach, the Orchaim, the Ramban, they both ask the question. The Gemara says that only until after the Mabul did Noach have the heter, and Noach Ubanov have the heter to eat meat. But before that point, they were not allowed to eat meat.
So why
do they have the makor? Why do they have the rishos? The Or Chaim, the Ramban says, is also similar, but the Or Chaim says the reason why they had it is since they took care of the animals, they're allowed to kill them. So Fech Sakasha, which is the Adrab, I would say, they took care of them. It's a reason not to. We just said a second ago, you this rickety old dog that has done nothing for you, if anything, you just added another baby to the thing that doesn't ever grow up. What's the point, right? Little Snickers or sneakers, whatever it is. Like, that's not a... Why is that, like, more important than everything else? And yet... You're telling me that that's more of a reason to kill the animal than to let it survive? So the answer I want to suggest is that Adrava, in the time that they're on the Teva, they had worked and had been kind of this midah of empathy, of rahmanis regarding the animals, that because of that, they're the only people that could take care of the animals. Because since they had reached that level of full-on hakar of the humanity of animals, and that it's not, this world is not meant to just be taken, eaten, and thrown away, the what we talk about, the microwave generation, which is boom, things in and out, right? Disposable generation, appreciating the actual mamachos inside of you, those are the only people that can take care of it. Not the rabbi, we should work on that. Okay, that's lachar rabbi, shkoyah. Isn't there a chazal
that eating a lot of meat causes an
upset? I'm not familiar with that. I know that it's definitely not the midah toiva. The Bali Musters speak about it a lot as well. But, okay, shkoyah, this comes with us.